I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We are celebrating Latino Heritage Month. It's a time of year when we make a special effort to celebrate the accomplishments of Latino Americans. And just in time, People in Español magazine has released a new book called Legends. It's a carefully crafted collection showcasing 100 20th century icons from film and theater to dance and music who have influenced both Latino culture and mainstream America. Joining us now is Nicole Raymond. She is the executive editor at People in Español and also NPR's own Felix Contreras. He specializes in coverage of jazz, world music, and Latino arts and culture. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Nicole, at some point, I guess you had to decide for reasons of space and cost, because this is an expensively produced work, to limit it to 100 legends. How did you ever decide whom to include and whom to leave out? There must have been some knockdown dragouts about this in the editorial meetings.
Of course. I mean, we had long, long discussions when we were putting together Legends. And all the editors, we have different backgrounds. We have Cuban people, Mexicans, Chileans, Argentinians. So what it just kept coming back to was, who are the most iconic entertainers, Hispanic entertainers of the 20th century? And I think that was the criteria we used.
One of the first people you see when you open the book is a picture of a dreamy-eyed Desi Arnaz. That's a name and a voice everybody of a certain age will know, of course, of I Love Lucy fame. I'm going to play just a short clip of him in his role as Ricky Ricardo, who's Lucy's husband in the show.
Hello, it's Ralph Brady there. Will you please tell him to call Ricky Ricardo when he comes home? Ricky Ricardo. R-I-C-K-Y-C-C. Like in Cuba. No. Cuba. C-U-B-A. B-B. Like in Barracuda.
So, Felix, what makes Desi Arnaz such an iconic figure?
Well, I mean, his character, you kind of have to separate the Desi Arnaz, the television professional, and Ricky Ricardo, the character. As you heard, you know, they're having fun with his language, with his English, trying to speak the language, which he was, you know, the accent was a put on. He was much more fluent in English. So he was primarily known for putting out the Latino image on the television that era. You know, you got to remember that show was number one for 6 years. The legend was that even crime went down when Lucy was on. And people watched, that many people watched it. So the character, the interracial marriage, the fact that he was a Latino band leader, it's all very, very progressive back in that time.
The book points out that although maybe people think of him primarily as a performer, he was a very pioneering producer. He lobbied very hard when Lucy became pregnant in real life to show a pregnant woman on TV. They were the formatting, it was produced live before a live studio audience, which is something that he innovated. He was a very astute business person, which you point out in the book. I also have to point out the format of the book. It's a beautiful photograph of each legend, also bilingual. Why?
Bilingual, exactly. I mean, this is not a book just for Hispanics. It's for everybody that's interested in Hispanic culture. I think we have everything from Hollywood stars like Rita Hayworth to telenovela stars like Veronica Castro. So I think it's a wide range of celebrities and stars.
And some of these people I think would be very well known to a wide range of people like Desi Arnaz, but others perhaps less, like Sonia Braga, mm-hmm. very well known to some, perhaps not as well known to others, in part maybe because her films are considered very erotic or provocative. Why is she an icon?
Probably a lot of people, when they hear the name Sonia Braga, they just think of a sex symbol, and that's basically what she was, a great actress, but also, you know, all this sensuality brought from Brazil. She exemplifies a lot of the journeys that several of these actresses have made. She started in telenovelas, as we know, is kind of the soap operas of Latin America, and then after she made this film, Doña Flora and her two husbands, she became well known in the film circuit, and that's how she came to the U.S. and then she did The Kiss of the Spider Woman, and she became, you know, a star here as well.
And she was also, maybe for people who aren't familiar with her film work, we have a short clip of her in Sex in the City, mm-hmm. where she played a lesbian artist in a relationship with the character of Samantha. Here it is.
You let men come to your door like this in the middle of the night?
Let it go. It's all in the past.
No, it's not in the past. It's serving his drinks. It's on the answer machine. Is at your door in the middle of the night.
All right, this might come as a shock to you, but I used to have sex with men.
This man was here for nothing but sex.
Yes, which I used to enjoy and haven't had much of since I got into this relationship.
You call this a relationship?
Well, Well, it's tedious and the sex is dwindling, so from what I've heard, yes.
If you have something to say to me, I want passion. I want fireworks! Oh! Do you want fireworks? I saw you fireworks!
Yes, that's Sex in the City. There we have it. Felix, I think many Latina performers have struggled with this whole issue, the fiery Latina sex bomb. It's something that they've sort of grappled with. Do they want to play with it? Do they want to push against it? Do you think that archetype is still with us?
And to a certain extent, yeah. The roles that they get offered is still the sex pot, still the maid, all the stereotypical type of roles. And I think what some of these women have done is they've taken control of that image. They've taken control of the sensuality and taken control of the sexuality and presented it in their own terms. And Sonia Braga is a good example. I mean, it was a kind of a sophisticated sultriness. And in fact, a sultriness from another culture, which initially, you know, Doña Flor was part of the whole art house circuit, you know. And so it was a different audience, and then she eventually made her way into and carried that sensuality into things like she had a very big role in the Milagro Beanfield War that Robert Redford made, along with Ruben Blades. She was on the Bill Cosby Show, a recurring role. So, you know, she still had that dignity, but she took control of that very early on and made it work for her, I think. And so did some of these other actresses.
Nicole mentioned the telenovelas. There are a number of stars here, again, who might be very familiar to some audiences, less so to others. Verónica Castro, we have a clip from one of her most famous soaps, El Derecho de Nacer, which translates into The Right to be Born. She plays a single girl who gets pregnant. In this clip, she's telling her mother, she's refusing to tell her mother who got her pregnant. Let's play it.
Mi hijo no tiene padre, pero me tiene a mí, mamá. A mí que lo voy a defender contra todos los que lo maldicen.
El nombre del canalla.
No, mamá, nunca lo vas a saber, nunca.
Ya lo veremos.
So there you got it. You got the trademark crying.
that was a telenovela, man.
Exactly.
So I mean, if there's something Veronica Castro knew how to do was to make people cry. I mean, she made the poor cry, the rich cry, and even the Russians. So,
pretty heavy topic, though, I think, especially for the late 70s. I think were the Spanish language soap operas known for this, kind of really tackling these deep issues, or is this an aberration?
No, I mean, telenovelas in general have always been very, very close to social issues. And I think that's one of the reasons why they have become so popular. And I mean, it's the main format of entertainment in Latin America these days.
You know, and one of the things I did in researching another story for about telenovelas is I found out there's a secondary market for telenovelas. They get dubbed into European languages. They get dubbed into English for Australia and South Africa. A woman like Veronica Castro, you know, she's pretty in any language. So that's what helps market these things all over the world.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with NPR's Felix Contreras and Nicole Raymond. She's the executive editor of People en Español. We're talking about the new coffee table book published by People en Español, Legends. It's about 100 iconic Latino figures. Talking about the sort of the geographic diversity, I noticed a lot of Central American Caribbean presence. Is there a question about whether there were enough South American names, or could you really not look at it that way? You couldn't really look at it for geographic diversity so much as sort of who the figure was.
We tried to have a variety, and probably I would have to say the stars that have transcended, you know, Latin America, the borders of Latin America and the U.S. have been mostly Mexican and I would say Dominican, especially here.
But you also have figures who are very important, people like Willie Colon, who still well-known, still doing his thing. Felix, what makes Willie such a unique performer?
Well, you know, I thought the selection of Willie Colon was interesting because he's, you know, he's more popular on the East Coast with Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, and less so with Mexicans out in the Southwest, at least as far as recent arrivals in the terms of the type of music he was playing. But I think that it's great that he was included because he was a musician that came of age in the early 70s when salsa was becoming salsa, when the traditional Afro-Cuban dance music was getting New Yorkified, getting a little bit of an attitude and getting updated. And he was one of the early musicians, one of the early people working in that field and really doing a lot of interesting things with it. So that some of the musical innovations he did in terms of arrangements, in terms of the instrumentation, they had a reverberation that still felt in pop music now.
El último verano estuve en España. Allí dejé sembrada casi mi vida.
And of course, we must bow to the queen of salsa, Miss Celia Cruz. Let's play a short clip from her. Here's a song from 1994 called La Vida es un Carnaval. Life is a Carnival. Let's hear it. Felix, tell me about Celia Cruz.
You know, first of all, that voice, I mean, it's a world treasure. I mean, it's a nice, deep, resonant voice, and she did so many wonderful things with it. And the thing that strikes me most about Celia Cruz is that she was loved. I mean, loved. People really like some of these other artists, but people genuinely loved Celia Cruz. She was just a symbol for so many different people, for so many different
things.
Why
is that?
If you saw her perform, you would know, even if you didn't speak a word of Spanish. I mean, she just delivered it as if she was just performing just for you. It was just such a powerful, powerful performance. And she had one of the, probably the most amazing instrument in salsa and Afro-Cuban music. That voice was just amazing.
Para aquellos que no nos quieren, para aquellos que nos maltratan, para aquellos que no sirven.
Nicole, I love the story that you tell in the book about how she took care of her voice, that she was very careful to avoid drugs and alcohol, which I think is kind of an interesting message to say, look, you know, I know that they used to believe that a brandy or cognac was good for the throat, but I've never liked it. So I said, no, I'll take care of my throat by myself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Celia was just unique. And she had that joy of living. That's what she communicated to the audience. And that's why she was so beloved by everybody.
And of course, there were some folks in the book who had some fairly complicated life stories. I'm thinking about Rita Hayworth. Mm-hmm. She was a person who, I believe at some point, felt she had to hide her identity or to avoid being typecast. She changed her name. She had cosmetic surgery. Nicole, can you tell us a little bit more about her? And was that at all complicated to include her? Because at times she didn't seem to necessarily embrace her heritage.
It was not. I think that when you grow up in Latin America, I still remember my mother telling me, you know that Rita Hayworth was Hispanic? I mean, people were very proud that we had a Hollywood star. And to achieve that, unfortunately, she had to, you know, tone down her ethnicity. She, as you said, she had a plastic surgery on her nose. She changed her hairline. She changed her name. She took her mother's maiden name and added, it was Hayworth, and she added the Y. And that's how she became a star. And I think a lot of people relate to the fact that sometimes having an accent or having a foreign last name, sometimes it doesn't help you. I think that has changed a lot in the last 20 years. But I think that people are still proud that there's one of them that was, you know, a Hollywood star.
And of course, there's other actors like Rita Moreno, who we've had on the program, who's never hid her heritage. And she's still very productive, still working. She was a star, a featured performer in the CBS series Kane last year. She was really a pioneer, Felix.
She was indeed a pioneer, one of the first, if not the first, to win an Oscar, a Grammy, a Tony, and an Emmy. Sometimes we tend to put our trailblazers on a pedestal and then not expect anything of them beyond what they've already done. And I think that we can still put Rita Moreno on this pedestal and respect and admire her for her trailblazing, but also admire her because she continues to work and continues to practice her craft.
The edition also includes some very current artists. There's Juanes, and of course you have Shakira. And I don't know, let's play a clip of Shakira for the 8 people on this planet who have never heard a Shakira song. Let's play a little bit. Nicole, no, come on, square business. Do you really think that Shakira and Thalia have done enough to be legends? A little, perhaps a little marketing hype there.
I would say no, but I think that Shakira first, she was a huge star in Latin America before coming to the U.S. She was beloved from Argentina to Mexico and, of course, starting from her home country, Colombia. And what she did is unheard of. I would say she was the first female Hispanic singer that crossed over big time in the U.S. And I think that that's very, very, I mean, you can't ignore that. And regarding Thalia, Telenovelas are just really, really big with the Hispanic audience, and we cannot ignore her. I would say that after Veronica Castro and Lucia Mendez, she and Adela Noriega are the biggest telenovela stars of all time.
Really?
Yes. Yes. I mean, she has her trilogy, The Marías, and it would stop, you know, traffic and life in Mexico and throughout Latin America.
What do you think about that, Felix? Well, are they legends yet?
You know, the influence of these telenovelas are just staggering. I mean, people really don't understand it. And you got to think about, they never repeat, you know, so they have new shows, you know, 52 weeks of the year. So these shows have to be there, and they just create these huge stars. I think in the sense of Shakira and with Juanes, you know, they accomplished so much within the Spanish-speaking market. And in particular, Juanes and Shakira, you know, they're politically active. They're working with orphanages. They're working with bombing victims. They're working with victims of violence. They're working with all this stuff. You know, think about Bruce Springsteen. Think about some of these people who put their political message behind their music.
Okay. You convinced me. So I'm going to ask each of you in the just a minute or so that we have left, is there anybody that was left out that's just killing you? You're just thinking, oh, man, if I just had one or two more pages. Nicole?
No.
Spoken like a real executive.
Good answer.
What about you, Felix?
Like you said, that editorial meeting must have been a knockdown, drag out, because it's the tip of the iceberg.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Nicole Raymond is the executive editor at People in Español. She joined us from our New York bureau. NPR's arts information reporter, Felix Contreras, joined us here in our Washington studio. And we must brag about Felix that his band Afrobop Alliance has been nominated for a Latin Grammy Award, awards to be presented in November. So fingers crossed, everybody.
Thank you.
The new book Legends is available in bookstores now. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And for more books to celebrate Latino Heritage Month, Camila Alire, president-elect of the American Library Association, shared some of her favorite books with us. You can hear that conversation on our website and get the list of her top picks for adults and younger readers at the Tell Me More page of NPR.org. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.